Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The world is full of questions. Questions that beg an answer. Questions that stimulate academic and theological questions. Let me give you some important examples of questions. Do hummingbirds hum because they don't know the words? Can breakfast cereal be considered cold soup? Is a hot dog a sandwich? There are so many important questions that we can talk about. If peanut butter wasn't called peanut butter, what would it be called? Why is it called a hamburger if there's no ham in it? Why is it that we park in driveways and drive on parkways? The questions just keep coming. Why is the worst grade an F and not an E? Why do we call it a pair of slacks rather than because it is a single garment? Do fish get thirsty? And vital questions in the world just beg for our answers. I love this one. Do pilots take a crash course? If you pamper a cow, does she give spoiled milk? And then there's that all-time great one that's been around since for hundreds of years. How many angels can dance on the head of a pin? God speaks to us in the gospel today about such kinds of questions that are asked. Questions that are really of no practical or useful importance. That's the kind of question that we say. Jesus and his disciples are on the way to Jerusalem. Jesus is teaching along the way and doing miracles. And the Jewish man comes to him and says, Lord, will those who are saved be few? Just how many people are going to be saved is what he wants to know. How many people are going to be there in heaven with me? Now, we don't know exactly why he asked that question. He may have expected to hear that he and along with all of his descendants of Abraham would be saved. He may have been wondering if there were any non-Jewish people who was going to be saved. Perhaps he expected Jesus to say something like this. Well, let's see. The last time I spoke with Dad, the number was 2,315,975,476. Coincidentally, that's the approximate number of Christians in the world today. But Jesus doesn't answer his question that way. He doesn't really answer his question at all. Rather than giving a specific answer to what we recognize today as a silly and an irrelevant question, Jesus answers that question in a much different way than that man expected. Jesus says, strive to enter through the narrow door. Jesus frequently compared the kingdom of heaven to a great feast in a banquet hall. The entrance to that banquet hall would have been through a single door. And a narrow door would have meant that people would have to go through one at a time. That narrow door is a symbol for Jesus. He was pointing out that entry to the banquet of heaven was only through himself. Strive to enter through the narrow door. Don't worry about how many others will or will not be saved. You can't believe for them and they can't believe for you. Focus on your own salvation, is what Jesus is saying. Strive so that you yourself will be saved. That word that's translated strive has some meanings in Greek. It means to struggle. It means to compete as you might do for a contest. It means to endeavor with great effort or great energy to reach a goal. Jesus is warning this man who asks the question that the road to heaven is a narrow door and the banquet is not necessarily easily achieved. Jesus is warning him that he's going to have to work to get there. Matthew uses a better description, I think, of his words. Matthew quotes Jesus as saying, "For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. But the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to eternal life, and those who find it are few." And Jesus has some other things to say about that door to the great banquet hall. He goes on to explain to this man that the time will come when the narrow door will be closed. And after it closes, there will be some people who will come and ask to be allowed in. But Jesus says they will be refused. They will argue that they knew of the banquet, they'd heard about it before. They will tell the host, "We saw you on the streets, and we heard you teaching and preaching." Nevertheless, Jesus says, they will be denied entry because they took the easy road. You see, Jesus is the host of that banquet. And he's saying, yes, you may have seen and heard about me, but you did not believe. So the message to this man is clear. It's foolish to worry about silly questions like we talked about at the beginning. It's foolish to worry about how many other people will be saved. Jesus is telling him to work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. And he's suggesting that he doesn't show up at the last minute planning to be fashionably late. The Old Testament speaks of the last day when that door will be closed. Isaiah says, "The time is coming to gather all nations and tongues, and they shall bring people from all nations, on horses and chariots and in litters, on mules and camels, to my holy mountain in Jerusalem." On that last day, people from around the world will be brought to that banquet by all means of transportation. They will come from the north and the south and the east and the west to pass through that cross-shaped door. Like the man who asked the question thinking only Jews would go to heaven, we too have a tendency to think others might be condemned for their sinfulness. After all, they are a worse sinner than we. Surely they will not be allowed into heaven. They are on the wide and the smooth road to destruction. But condemning others, people, is not acceptable. Because when we condemn them, we are condemning ourselves as well. Because as Paul says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Fortunately for us, it is Jesus who is in control. It is Jesus who gave his life on the cross for us. Fortunately for us, it is Jesus who makes that final decision, because there is nothing we can do on our own to get through that narrow door. Our problem is that we don't like to hear that that door is narrow and that the road might be a little bit difficult. The world would have us believe that we should go to heaven first class. The journey should be in soft, comfortable chairs like a first-class flight across the ocean. The world would have us believe that the way to heaven is just a short stroll down the street. The world wants us to think that the road is smooth and the door is wide. The world would have us believe that all who come will be given entry because they led good lives. But that's not the road to heaven. It's not like that, smooth and wide, and the door is not wide. Satan throws everything at us that he can. He throws everything against us. He battles us on every side. He tempts us with false promises. He'd like us to think that God has abandoned us. When the road gets rough, he'd like us to think that God is no longer there for us. When the road becomes narrow and winding and filled with potholes, Satan would like us to think that God is punishing us. But in difficult times, God may be disciplining us, as we hear in the epistle lesson. There we are reminded today that we have earthly fathers. They've loved us and they've disciplined us. And because of that love and discipline, we respected them. But the writer of Hebrews goes on, God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. He disciplines us so that we may stay on that winding road to the narrow door to the banquet of heaven. Indeed, God is here in our lives today. He transforms even terrible things that happen to us to our benefit. He shapes and conforms us through times of trial because he loves us. Ultimately, there is nothing that Satan can do to undermine God's plan for us, his adopted children. Day after day, the Holy Spirit leads us along that narrow and winding road. He prepares us so that we can walk through that narrow door. Nonetheless, we don't like to be constricted. The narrow door is hard for us to accept. That path seems out of step with the rest of the world. The world tells me that there are other ways to heaven as well, easier ways that we could take. The world tells me that I have plenty of time to change my ways. The world distracts us from the goal by getting us to consider other frivolous questions and distracts us from those things that we really need to focus on, to focusing on that narrow and winding road. The question was asked in confirmation class not long ago, but how do we know for sure that we are saved? The answer to that question is found in John chapter 6. Jesus says there, "For it is the will of my Father that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." That's God's promise to us, and God keeps his promises. So as you travel down that road of life this week, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Listen for the guidance of that Holy Spirit. Stay on the rough and the winding road that leads to the narrow door and takes you to the banquet of heaven. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts in mind so that you may be led through that narrow door by your faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.